The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? I'm thinking probably not. Late July. Here we are. How did that happen? You know, as a kid, by this stage of the summer, I would be getting mild anxiety attacks because, well, 4th of July was long gone, which was the high point of the summer. Not only did I get to blow shit up, with every ashcan M80 and cherry bomb, I was also breaking the law, which added an extra measure of satisfaction. 4th of July was benign anarchy. I suppose it still is. It renders authority impotent. Also, by now, were the first whiffs of back-to-school crap in the stores. At this spot in the calendar, there was just a couple of weeks left in July, and August had four short weeks, which meant September and goddamn Labor Day. The unofficial end of summer. The last hurrah of good times and freedom before the return to the gulag. And it's so perfectly named, Labor Day, redolent with commie overtones. Labor Day sucks. It's the equivalent of a last meal before execution. I hated school, and I hated kids who didn't. Already the stores are overflowing with their back-to-school shit. Seems they always color the displays in a disgusting mustard color, kind of like a yield sign. Why do they do that? Why not ruby red or electric blue? Why that disgusting mustard tone? Must be some marketing assholes held focus groups, and the mustard people voted it up. Even now, I just hate the sight of that shit. I want to squirt accelerant on it and torch it and laugh and say, fuck you, back to ashes. A few years ago, there was a nut in L.A. who was setting fire to cars at dealerships. And I'm sure I wasn't the only guy smirking a little and thinking, hey, it's about time consumers delivered some payback to those thieves. It went on for months. Each time I'd see another four or five brand new Nissans or Hondas in flames on the news, I'd wonder, what set the arsonist off? Did he drive home in his new Altima and discover his next-door neighbor scored the same rig for 15% less? As it turned out, it was some enviro nut. But it was a fun show while it lasted. I'm surprised some crazy kid hasn't tried to stymie school the same way. Just start torching all the back-to-school inventory at these big-box stores. Wonder if any kids would actually be grateful, or would they tisk-tisk and tongue-click with the rest of the sheeple? Not that I hated learning. That was okay. I mean, only maybe 10 to 15% of the shit they made you learn was useful. But when I think back on it, it was probably the authority angle. My parents were entitled to tell me what to do. I was okay with that. I was never really comfortable with strangers giving me orders. And that was a big part of school. What I needed, and I think everybody needs, as kids in school, is some older influence to wise us up to the constant bullshit they spray at us as children. I mean, just think if you could jump into your skin as a 9-year-old with your adult experience and guile. You'd be king of the hill in the matter of hours. Think of the time we wasted on bullshit and busy work. I got terribly conned one time by the summer reading list. First time I heard the phrase, I had instantaneous rage. They're giving homework over the summer? I only realized when it was too late that it was just a gimmick wrapped in a threat to sell books, shit books, that should never have been published. In June, a couple of weeks before school ended, and this was Catholic grammar school, they'd hand out a sheet of paper with a list of 30 or 40 book titles, and you were forced to pick three and buy three and read them over the summer. The underlying idea being that this would prevent atrophy in young minds. And the prick teacher would swear up and down that the first day back in the fall, there would be an essay test on these three books, and if you had not read them, you'd be starting off the new school year with a shit grade. It was fourth grade, and I ponder this goddamn book list, and everything just makes me want to hurl. But more importantly, summer vacation is summer vacation. And if I'm reading goddamn school books on vacation, that's not vacation. It's theft of my freedom. Fuck you. All these shit books were published by some oddball religious press. Nobody ever heard of them, so there wasn't even a chance in hell you could score the cliff for Spark Notes. The titles were hideous. Adventures in Christian Doctrine, Lives of the Saints, Learn to be Meek, shit like that. Except one. The title mentioned something about a detective and mystery. Okay, maybe I'll dig that one. Maybe I'll even read it. I was already a fan of Raymond Chandler and Mickey Spillane, and detectives were fucking cool. They always had pointy chicks named Velda or Linda. They carried semi-autos in shoulder or ankle holsters. Hip holsters were for Barney fucking Fife and other such rubes. Detectives wore cool threads and drove convertibles. They often lived on boats at the marina. They drank scotch on the rocks. They blew smoke in people's faces. They settled every fight with one punch that always left the other guy unconscious or puking. They could do anything, play jazz piano, fence, trapeze, with zero study or practice. They just picked it up because they were naturals at every endeavor. Fuck yeah. Give me the detective book. Last day of school comes. I'm going to digress a moment here because I just remembered something that also explained why I hated school. So many of the teachers were assholes. The neighborhood was working class and so was the school. Not a lot of money around. My old man was one of the few who had a car. So did the dad of one of my best friends, Lenny Ferrante. Lenny was just the best kid. He would always have your back in a fight. No bullshit. Hell of a ball player. But his parents were divorced and his old man was kind of a low-rent Tony Soprano. Every time I'd stop by Lenny's house, which was as humble as the rest of ours, a new broad would answer the door. She was always stacked, but you'd never see the same one twice. Good for Lenny's old man. Not so good for Lenny and his younger sister. One hot summer day after a stickball game, Lenny and I sat on the curb under a tree, swilling yoo-hoos. Is yoo-hoo a national thing? Maybe it's an East Coast drink. What it was chocolate water in a bottle. Every kid loved chocolate milk, but of course it needed refrigeration. So some smartass invented yoo-hoo, which was essentially chocolate water. But we drank it anyway, kind of like that canned cat piss LaCroix. So we're chugging yoo-hoos, and Lenny tells me how lucky I am because my mom and dad were together, and how he wished his had never split, and some of his dad's girlfriends were assholes. It really didn't register for me at the time. That kind of thing wasn't part of my world, and I couldn't get my 9-year-old mind around Lenny's burden. It was the last day of school, and the classroom was on the first floor with a good street view, and it's just about 3 o'clock, and that bell is going to ring any second, but before it does, a car horn blasts outside, and the fourth grade teacher, Mr. Hobson, who was an asshole, he looks out the window and says, "Hey, Lenny, is that your old man in that convertible?" And Lenny stands up and looks out the window. He nods. And Hobson says, "Cool, Lenny. New car, new broad. Must be nice." And everybody laughs. And Lenny, who was of course Italian and quite swarthy, flushed red like an Irish kid. He was mortified. The 3 o'clock bell rang, and we all picked up our envelopes with the summer reading books on the way out the door. I walked outside with Lenny. His old man had a shiny Buick. It was a few years old, but new to him. And his girlfriend was just as flashy. Lenny said to me, sotto, that he'd like to offer me a ride, but his old man said not to do that. His old man looked mean as hell. I told Lenny no problem and watched him as he got into the Buick. His face looked like he was climbing into the back of a hearse instead of a convertible on the first day of summer vacation. It took a few days before I opened the envelope to examine my 3 summer books. The only one I was curious about was the detective one, of course. I looked at the cover, expecting Pulp Fiction. Some iron-jawed dude with a gun and a pointy-chested blonde hanging off his arm, with a title font dripping blood or flame or maybe riddled with bullet holes. Instead, I see this fucking doughy-faced creep with 2 or 3 chins and rimless glasses, and he's wearing this big stupid hat and some kind of a robe or something. What the fuck is this? I turned it over and read the bullshit on the back cover. And it's a teaser about Meet the Detective. Father Gregor Mendel. Father? What? A fucking priest? Where are the guns? Where's the violence? Where are the pointy broads with big tits and high heels? I keep reading, and now it's saying how this priest set out to solve the mystery of how to grow fancy string beans and carrots and Christ on a pogo stick. I just want to pound this book up somebody's ass with a circus mallet. Those sons of bitches with their bait-and-switch advertising and phony description. First, they want to steal my vacation time, and then they fake me out with some piece of shit educational book about how vegetables fuck. I was ripshit. I still am. I never read the goddamn book or the other two. But all summer long, I had that shitty feeling of approaching doom. Not merely the onset of 5th grade, but the possibility of some stupid test on a moronic book about a triple chin priest and his artichoke gene splicing. All summer long, whether I was riding waves at the beach or playing stickball or catching fireflies or committing senseless acts of vandalism, I had this shitty, gnawing feeling in the back of my mind. The same feeling you get now when there are unpaid bills or April 15 or in-laws are approaching. A sort of Damocles feeling. Which, by the way, I never learned about in school. I got that from an episode of The Three Stooges. As an adult, having shit hanging over your head is part of the deal. But as a kid, I felt wronged. Maybe that's what fuels my thoughts of school supply arson. The last night before school started, I took a look at that book and opti-scanned it. Read the first page and some shit in the middle. Found a few key words that repeated again and again, figuring I could maybe bullshit my way through a multiple-guess quiz. First day of school, and nobody ever mentioned that shit book, or the other two. I was furious. I'd let myself be conned by assholes. The moment I got home from school, I grabbed those 3 books and ran down to the corner with them, where I shredded them and pitched them into the sewer where they belonged. The 5th grade teacher was Mr. Lynch, who turned out to be a pretty good guy, a no-bullshit guy. When I think back on all the years I had my ass bolted to desks and classrooms, I might have learned the most right there with Mr. Lynch. He didn't give a shit whose shoes were shined or hair was combed. He just wanted to lay knowledge on kids. Practical knowledge. By the time I got out of his class, I had a pretty good idea of how politics worked, and he never, for a second, tipped his hand on where he stood. In science, he skipped right past useless shit, like the difference between igneous and sedimentary rocks. But I and every kid in the class knew how an electrical circuit worked and could do rudimentary wiring. One day some chooch came into the class from someplace in Ohio. He looked exactly like Michael Douglas in that movie Falling Down. He was there to administer a standardized test. The guy moved like he had a pool cue up his ass. The guy actually timed the segments of the test with a fucking stopwatch. He was that anal. About 10 minutes after the test began, Lenny shows up. He must have had a rough morning. He was wearing yesterday's clothes. His hair was all messed up. He had a fat lip, and it was clear he'd been crying. He sure looked like somebody had been slapping him around. Lenny takes his seat, and Mr. Lynch asks him if he's okay. And the cyborg from Akron announces that Lenny
may not take the test because he's late.
And Mr. Lynch just gets right in Cyborg's grill and says, yes, he can. And Cyborg says something about
regulations.
And Mr. Lynch tells him, clearly with intent to intimidate, wrong. My class, my student, and you are about to make an accommodation. And Cyborg swallows hard and hands Lenny a test. Lenny wipes snot and tears from his face as Mr. Lynch hands him a couple of sharpened number 2 pencils and says, it's okay, son. You're going to do fine on this test. What a difference a teacher can make. Wherever Lenny is, I hope he has a storybook family. I hope Mr. Lynch is enjoying his retirement. And that Mr. Hobson got run over by a convertible. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Come see us this Sunday at Sinner's Sunday. Have you ever sat in one of those chrome and glass palaces built by the corporate god providers and asked yourself, what the hell am I doing here? Well, that won't happen at our cozy chapel, where there's always cold beer, hot ribs, and free refills of truth. I'll be releasing a new bonus episode in the next few days about magic. Sure, it's all smoke and mirrors. Or is it? I was witness to a feat of magic that remains unexplained by a number of well-known professional magicians. Can you figure it out? Maybe it was the real deal. Go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and listen for yourself. For more commentary, pictures, links, and episodes, go to thatlarryshow.com, and while there, click the subscribe by email button. That way you'll never miss a show. And it doesn't cost a damn thing. I'll see you Sunday, right here at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, take no shit.